have tuned in to Talon Mark's Campus News Hour on WPMD.org, Cerritos College Radio on the net, bringing essential student body information, news, sports, and the arts to the entire Cerritos College campus community. Here are your hosts, Campus News Hour Director Tito Benavides and Managing Multimedia Editor Lucia Sarabia.
Today is February 8th, 2012. Welcome to the fourth edition of Talon Mark's Campus News Hour for the spring semester, bringing you news and information campus-wide. I'm your host, Tito Benavides.
And I'm Lucia Sarabia.
Good morning, Falcons! There is a bloody competition between campus clubs for who donates the most hemoglobin to the Bloodmobile this semester. Staff writer Alexa Bazua reports on the heart-pounding competition that is sure to bring out the best and the blood of donating participants.
Several clubs on campus will be competing in who can donate the most blood the week of February 14th. The Bloodmobile will come to the Cerritos campus, and donors who are in a club will earn 1 point for the club they mention. If you are a member of multiple clubs, you may only choose one that will receive the 1 point. The clubs have many competitions throughout the semester, and so far, the Kinesiology Club is in the top spot. Commissioner of ICC, Daniel Fragoso, believes the Kinesiology Club has a good chance of taking the win.
It's hard to say right now. It varies. Maybe Simple Truth or Kinesiology Club. They're a strong club, so I believe they probably will win this year again.
The winner of the competition will be announced during an awards banquet at the end of the semester. For Talon Mark's Campus News Hour, this is Alexa Bazua reporting.
iTunes U is now being implemented to further the ability to study and better one's grade point average by placing lectures and study notes online for the essay access of such information by students on the go. News editor Enrique Rivera demystifies the new learning tool for Campus News Hour.
Cerritos College, along with other colleges, have become a part of iTunes U. iTunes U is a service delivered by Apple that will facilitate the school to allocate digital videos and audio recording into the internet or Apple products. This means that students can sync course content into their iPads or iPhones and look over a professor's lecture over their devices. Dean of Academic Affairs Nick Real explained that he used iTunes U while he was instructing a class about computer-assisted inspection using Verisir.
So iTunes U, we use that in one class in the Machine Tool Technology department. And in that class, we use iTunes U to provide the students with some videos on how to do some inspection or routines, if you want. You know, how to use it, where to click in the computer, and what to do physically with a probe. So iTunes U basically was there to help us publish, if you want, the videos that we created for that class.
iTunes U was there to help us publish the videos we created for the class, he said. Rio mentioned that some of his students were not actually able to use iTunes U.
One thing that we did is because not every student was able to log into iTunes U because you have to have a password and different things you have to do, we also posted them on YouTube. And the ones who didn't want to use iTunes U or didn't like it or whatever, we were able to show them what those videos were on YouTube. And they are still on YouTube right now. The idea was to be able to do it outside of a computer, like you said, on an iPhone or something like that. That's the advantage of iTunes U. Okay. Otherwise, if you just have a browser, YouTube to me seems to be the easier solution because everybody has that. And they don't have to log in with a password. Some students don't like logging in with passwords. You know, they prefer something that's on public information. So that's the feedback that I got at the time.
Students like Manuel Rodriguez, electric engineer major, thinks iTunes U is a good idea for when he's on the go.
Yeah, because I'd be able to download it. Like if I was here and I have no way to get into a computer, I'd be able to download it pretty quickly onto my phone or something. Then later on, like I could look it up or something, like later on at home or something, you know?
Yeah.
I think they should do it on lecture and then like add their lessons online as well. Like, because when you're doing the lecture, when you're writing down, you forget like maybe half of it.
iTunes U tool was designed to lengthen faculty's instructional presence. English major Alonso Lama sees a negative side effect as far as class attendance to the iTunes U app.
I'd still attend regularly regardless. There's so much material that we cover in class and some of it you just can't learn just through hearing. But from our classes, personally, I think just discussion, being involved in discussions and bringing up new material and things, there's certain things that you can't just listen to online. And when you participate in class and actually go to class, there's so much more. There's a visual aspect of it, the kinesthetic aspect, and you can learn by doing something, by seeing it. And auditory isn't exactly, personally, my best way of learning, so I'd still attend regularly.
Communications major Samantha Cardona will agree with Lamas about class attendance.
I would definitely still attend class because that's still an important aspect about being a student. That would be a beneficial tool for a student. If they do miss class or can't attend class, they can always just use that as a helpful tool for them. So.
Rio's class didn't have much of an impact as far as attendance.
I think they saw it as a supplement, but I don't see that it really changed the attendance for the class. Because, you know, it's a night class and it's a technical class, so the students are really committed. They come after work, you know, they typically have a job in that industry. So for them, there wasn't that aspect. But for other students, maybe that come here during the day program, maybe for them that would be a help, you know, for attendance.
That iTunes U is just one of the ways that Apple is trying to make to benefit people on the educational side and not just for entertainment. Apple App iBook is a similar app that some colleges started using to make textbooks easier to get and less heavier to carry for students. With the amount of people who have Apple devices on campus, English major Catherine Grajilva sees the big factor that the iTunes U app can benefit the students.
I think it's a really good idea. It's really creative and it's going to benefit the students. They'll have more access to, like, you know, the homeworks or projects, videos that they'll have, or, you know, even like music or whatever, like their classes. I think it's good. It'll work.
With iTunes U, undecided major Adolfo Rodriguez explains that there won't be much of an excuse for students to miss lectures and homework thanks to the app.
In a way, it could be recommended because, I mean, it is college, and a lot of students do have, you know, iPods and iPads and stuff, so it's one way you won't have an excuse saying that, oh yeah, I couldn't make it, couldn't go to my computer and stuff like that. So, I mean, like I said, you know, everybody has iPods and stuff, so they could, like, anywhere, you know, if they say, like, they don't have a place to go, they'll have, you know, their iPod and stuff, and they could pretty much look it up anywhere where they're at. But I don't know if the teachers will or the professors will do it because, you know, they say it's technology and, like, you know, like cell phones and iPods, it's a distraction, so it all depends on them. You know, it all depends on how the professors see it.
For Talent Marks Campus News Hour, this is news editor Enrique Rivera reporting.
Past and present Cerritos College students that have contributed to the campus as well as their own successful careers will be celebrated in this year's Cerritos College Hall of Fame. Staff writer John Gonzalez sits with Superintendent Linda Lacey and inquires about this most prestigious award.
Cerritos College has inducted 6 new staff members and alumni into their first ever Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame members include notable alumni and faculty members such as Ron Yari, Dr. Edward Bloomfield, Barbara Reynalda, Wally Kincaid, Jerry Rudzent, and John Gallant. Multiple committees nominated and voted for who they thought was most qualified from a strict list of criteria. President Linda Lacey explains exactly who is eligible for the Hall of Fame.
We decided some categories, and then we have a executive committee that contains representatives from pretty much every avenue of the college, faculty, staff, community members, a board member. So we just had a variety of folks that serve on an executive committee. And then each one of those were put in charge of finding a subcommittee for every category. So in other words, if it was the distinguished faculty, the president of the faculty senate chaired that and formed a committee to help look at the applications. We sought nominations, they turned the nominations in, and then the committee was put in charge of deciding who they would like to recommend to receive the honor. Each of the subcommittees that I talked about developed criteria of what they were looking for in the recipient, and they sent that out to people, for instance, the student alumni. The students were that participated in that to develop some eligibility and criteria for what they were looking for in that candidate. And then the subcommittee did a rubric and evaluated them on what they had determined as their criteria. Each category had a little bit different criteria.
After his pro football career, Yari opened up a photography business with his brother and has taken pictures for multiple professional and collegiate teams. He has given back to the Cerritos College community by taking photos for all the faculty and photos for the sports team. Ruzant has given back substantially to the school. He gave one student a dental makeover so she could have a more professional look when she goes out to try and find a job. Dr. Bloomfield helps with tutoring and scholarships for all the students on the Cerritos campus. He also donated some equipment and held a fundraiser after a faculty member got into an accident and his family couldn't pay for the medical bills. He also hosts a golf tournament to help raise funds for the school and scholarship programs. The corporate sponsor winner also donates money to fund scholarships at Cerritos, which range from all different majors and fields of work. We want to see people who are involved in the school, who have not only stood out, but who have done something to better the school and the students as well, said Director of Public and Government Relations Mark Wallace. Librarian Deborah Moore is quoted as saying, quote, "We narrowed them down and decided on one," end quote. New members will be inducted into the Hall of Fame each year and will be selected by new committees which are run by Cerritos College faculty members. An inaugural induction ceremony will be held to honor those who have been inducted into the Hall of Fame on April 12th and will be attended by all of the inductees. President Lacey looks forward to the award ceremony.
You know, the celebration dinner is going to be April 12th. We're going to have it at the Sheridan Hotel, and our culinary arts program is providing the food, and we'll be preparing the food for it. The Sheridan's been gracious enough to allow that to happen, and they're co-sponsoring the event with us. So it's going to be a very nice evening.
For Campus News Hour, this is staff writer John Gonzalez reporting.
You are listening to Telemark's Campus News Hour. We'll be right back after these important messages.
It's the number one cause of blindness in adults. Having it doubles your risk of heart attack and stroke. And every year, it kills more Americans than breast cancer and AIDS combined. With numbers like those, there's no ignoring it, no pretending it doesn't exist, and no sense treating it like a mere condition. It's diabetes, and it's about time we saw it for what it is, a deadly disease that's becoming an epidemic in this country. Join the movement to help the American Diabetes Association stop diabetes once and for all. Share your personal story as a way to inspire others. Act by volunteering your time to help in your community. Learn about diabetes. Get screened. If you have diabetes, find out the best ways to manage it. And give your time, your financial support, your hope for a cure. Find out more at StopDiabetes.com or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
Do you know if you qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit? Well, if you have kids, you should find out, because it's for people who earn around $32,000 or less, have kids, and meet some other rules. If you qualify, you could pay less tax, no tax, or even get a refund. To find out if you qualify, visit the IRS website at www.irs.gov. A message from the Internal Revenue Service, WPMD, and Telemark's Campus News Hour.
I can help the next customer over here.
Oh, thank you.
Hi. Wow, that's a lot of books. Let's see. How to keep your child safe. Child-proofing your home. Child-proofing your yard. Child-proofing your in-laws' home and yard. Well, I'm guessing you have a little one at home?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like you must take good care of her.
Oh, thank you.
Now, let's see. Parents' Guide to Safe Toys. That's a really good one. Parents' Guide to Safe Foods. Parents' Guide to Safe Safety Products. Parents' Guide to Parenting Guides. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and other safety tips.
Of all the things you can read about keeping your child safe, the most important is attached to the back of their car seat. Read the instruction manual and learn to use the latch system. It makes it easier to be sure your child's car seat is installed correctly.
Parents' Guide to Telling Other Parents How to Raise Their Kids.
To learn more, go to safercar.gov. Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
WPMD.org, Cerritos College, Norwalk, California. You are listening to Telemark's Campus News Hour. Campus News Hour. Today we have a very special guest, Miss Danita Kurtz. She's the director of the International Student Center, working in collaboration with Dr. Patricia Robbins Smith from the Community Education. Okay, now we're understanding that a new course in English is being put out, right? What we want to know is, what is the difference between the intensive English program and the English as a second language class?
Good question.
Well, the intensive English program is a brand new class this semester, and it's primarily made up of international students who have come from different countries around the world. And right now we have 13 students who are in this class presently, and we are recruiting for classes that will be coming up very soon. The intensive English program is made up of international students. They must be on a student visa to be able to participate in this class. And then once they've completed this class successfully, then they will be able to transition into the English as a Second Language program, which we consider a bridge program. And this bridge program allows these students to be able to take not only English as a second language, but also some of their regular classes, so they can get started on their major career. Once they've completed this bridge program, then they will be transferred directly into their major field of study, where they can continue getting either the Associate of Arts degree or transfer to any of the excellent universities around the state of California or around the United States.
How long is each intensive English program?
Right now, we have an intensive English program. There are 8 weeks in session. Our first one began on January 9th, and it will end in March. Mm-hmm. Our second one will begin on March 12th and run until May. And then another program will begin on March 21st for another 8 weeks.
Okay. Now, do students have to, would they have had to sign up like at the beginning of the semester for these classes then?
Or are we currently taking applications from international students who are interested in taking this program. We also, for you out in the community, if you have relatives, nephews, nieces, sisters, brothers, anyone who would like to come to the United States and begin their education, but who really needs to learn English first, this is an excellent program for them, especially if they want to continue their education and get an Associate of Arts degree, it's a bachelor's degree, master's degree, or beyond. So therefore, by taking English as a second language, the intensive English program, they will continue with that.
What is the advantage of being on this program?
The advantage is this is an opportunity for international students to start in the level of English where they belong. In the past, what we had to do is if they did not score high enough on their English test, mm-hmm. then we had to ask them to go to a different school altogether, receive their English training, and then come back when they're ready to begin their major area of study. This intensive English program allows the students to start where they belong in the English language. If they need to start in the very beginning in the English language, we have a class for them. Once they've completed that successfully, then we allow them to go into our bridge program, which is the ESL program, and then into their major field of study. So the other advantage of having international students on this campus is, as many people know, they pay a significant amount of money towards their tuition. They pay 2 to 3 times more than the domestic student. The money that is generated by their tuition stays on our campus so that we could use that money for many other projects on campus.
How many people are enrolled in this so far?
Currently, we have 13 that started our first class, and we are looking for more. So anyone out there in the community or on campus who have relatives, we are accepting applications as of now for our class that begins on March 12th or another class that will begin on May 21st.
Now, are we seeing people from, like, the European countries as well coming?
Right now, the majority of the students in that class are from the Pacific Rim countries.
Wow.
We have students from Korea, Japan, Cambodia, Vietnam, China, Taiwan, and then we have a student from Colombia as well. So we are looking for all different types of students and from different countries who are interested in learning English as a second language.
Awesome. Now, you know, I would assume that there is not a translator for every different language that comes in. And is there like some kind of like, you know, language barrier that has to be broken? And is there a method to break that?
Well, what we have now is we do have students on campus who speak many of these languages. Mm-hmm. And so we have asked their assistance to help us in getting these students situated. But they also bring their own translators along with them. Oh, wow. So that person can be their own relative, their own friend, another student who is attending Cerritos College, who will be able to come and help translate for them. So we haven't had a problem with the language barrier at this point.
That's great.
And whose brainchild was this? I mean,
we have been working on this project for a while. I am working in collaboration with the community education, and we've had the idea for many years. And so coming together, putting it in action, and then finally getting enough students to be able to make our first class is huge for our campus. And the idea behind the having these students in these class is that they will become our student eventually on our campus and be able to continue their education at Cerritos College.
And further contribute to Cerritos College as well.
Yes.
They contribute both in diversity, in funds, in adequate funds, as well as their participation on campus.
Well, Director Kurtz, I think this is a wonderful thing you guys are doing. I mean, I'm sure the students have a very positive outlook, almost like a haven when they go there, right? Go to class.
We sure hope so. And we do have a very supportive International Student Center that's available for them. And we are there to support them in any decisions that they need to make and any problems that they may face on campus.
Now, is there any way people can get a hold of you? You have a Facebook page up, or do you have an email address?
Our phone number is 562-860-2451, extension 2151. Again, that's 562-860-2451, extension 2133 or 2151. We are looking forward to, if you have any interested students out there, we are looking forward to taking their applications, answering any questions that they have, and seeing them in our next class.
Now, can people get, selected studies credits by coming in and translating if they have the time for that, or directive studies or something like that? If people could offer that kind of service and actually attend every class, maybe that could happen, that's for everybody pulling together.
I think that's an excellent idea. Another idea that we have is that we also have conversation classes where these students really need to practice their English language. Mm-hmm. So if there's any club out there, organization, class, who would like to come in and have a conversation with these students on anything, any subject that you would like to bring up, that's not only helping them practice their English, but it's also giving you the chance to be able to meet these students and to maybe
assimilate
get
them
kind
into
of
your
credit.
Clubs. Yeah, absolutely.
Correct.
And even bring more people into the clubs as well, because everyone needs that. So
yes,
I think there's something really good happening here. I commend you for what you're doing, because this is going to help out a lot of people to further themselves into our society, actually.
Well,
so,
thank you.
Absolutely. Director Kurtz, we thank you very much for being on Campus News Hour.
Okay. Thank you. And once again, if you need to contact us, we're in the International Student Center at Cerritos College, and we look forward to accepting your applications from your relatives soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're listening to Talon Marks Campus News Hour. We'll be back after these messages.
Bellflower's Meals on Wheels is a nonprofit voluntary community service for those temporarily unable to prepare adequate meals for themselves. Meals on Wheels is dedicated to helping the disabled, aged, and chronically or temporarily ill. They supply them with nourishing food at a normal cost. Meals are prepared by Morrison's Healthcare Group in Downey. The Director of Nutrition plans the menus, and the meals are packaged by volunteers, county staff, and Human Services Association staff at Sims Park. Meals are packaged and delivered 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, between 10:30 a.m. and 12:15 p.m., except holidays. Each customer is charged $2.85 per day, regardless of income. If you need assistance, call Meals on Wheels between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. at 562-806-5400. This has been a public service message from WPMD, Cerritos College, Norwalk, where people make a difference.
With students piling on unit after unit, all the extracurricular activities, homework, and family life, a need to organize one's life is necessary but not always implemented. Staff writer Juan Lopez brings information on a special workshop that helps students organize their school and personal lives to help get the most out of both.
For students who are having trouble trying to balance family and school, Cerritos College is having a workshop that will help students better manage those areas. Child Development faculty Angela Beck will be presenting the four keys to balancing family and school workshop. The workshop will go over the time management, study skills, building a support system, and finding quality childcare. Beck commented on the reason for the workshop, saying,
"We found that students just have so much going on these days. Everybody works and comes to school and has a family, and it kind of goes along with the iFalcon habits of mind, just how to be organized and kind of manage yourself to be successful. Just show up. Yeah. I mean, we try to get a head count because I've got handouts for everybody.
Yeah.
But if you don't have time to RSVP, please just come on by and we'll make a room for you."
Students, staff, and faculty are all welcome to attend the workshop.
Oh, everybody's involved. Yeah, staff, faculty, anybody can come. Hopefully I'll be able to give them some good ideas about how to kind of get organized. I'm a working parent myself. I've got two kids, and I'm a Girl Scout leader, and I've got other stuff in my life. So hopefully I'll be able to share what's worked for me. We'll do some brainstorming and kind of help people get focused and prioritize what needs to get done in their life.
The workshop will be on Thursday in SS 139 from 2 to 3 p.m. For Telemark's Campus News Hour, I'm staff writer Juan Lopez reporting.
Even with a win, the Cerritos College baseball team feels less like celebrating and more of learning from the game's mistakes versus Citrus College. Staff writer Luis Guzman reporting.
The Falcons hosted its first game of the season with a 9-8 win over Citrus College on Friday. The Falcons struck first, scoring twice in the bottom of the first inning as outfielder Bubby Rossman and shortstop Chris Hefner both crossed the plate. Both teams battled back and forth during the contest, but the Falcons were able to pull out the victory. The winning pitcher for the Falcons was Sebastian Frutos, and the losing pitcher for Citrus was Juan Cabral. The Falcons pitcher Carl Harper gives his assessments of the game and the opposing team.
I mean, it's a win. We didn't play too good, but we pulled it through, so win's a win in the end. They're a good team, just made a lot of errors in the end that cost them, and if they work on that, if they work on their defense, they should be a good team in the long run.
The Falcons had only two errors compared to the six errors from Citrus. Though the team was victorious, Coach Gaylord is very unhappy with the team's performance.
I told our guys, if you're real happy about this game today, there's something wrong with you, because we didn't play very well. And come back, let's correct what we did wrong today, you know, play with a little bit more courage, and then, you know, whether you win or lose, getting, you know, going off the field, at least you did that. You know, that's, I hope we understand that. Sometimes you win the first game and you play really well and win it, and you come back that next day, it's the hangover game where they all think they're, you know, I'm hoping, I mean, we got the win out of it, but I'm hoping that they understand that there's nothing really to celebrate because we didn't play well. So I want to see us improve tomorrow. Be anxious to see how we come out. It'll be a tough day.
Gaylord sees how to further improve the team.
Well, I thought our pitching was not very good, you know, especially with two strikes. We didn't throw the ball to disciplined areas, and, you know, and then they're a good hitting team. But, I mean, I think if you throw the ball where you're supposed to, you get them out.
Cerritos College will go up against Los Angeles Valley in a doubleheader at Cerritos College Kincaid Field. The first game of the doubleheader is at 10 a.m., while the second game is slated to begin at 2 p.m. For Talon Marsh Campus News Hour, I'm staff writer Luis Guzman reporting.
A humbling performance by the Cerritos College Tennis Department versus Ventura College has both coach and teammates from the women's and men's lineup seen what needs to be improved for the possibility of future wins. Staff writer Mike Westerfield takes Campus News Hour to the courts for some insight in the tennis department's game plan.
The Cerritos College women's tennis team suffered a 9-0-9 conference loss Thursday to Ventura College in their first home match of the season. The men's team managed to take two of their nine matches. Coach Kim believes that facing one of the better teams in the state for their season opener helped the Falcons focus on areas that need improvement.
Well, I think the
the bottom line is doing anything and everything we can to get better. And I can say that one thing is more important than the other, but it's to work hard at all costs, I think.
In singles games, the women won only three games. Freshman Amy Peterson won a pair of games, and other ladies Falcons did not do so well. Freshman Nancy Audetat lost 6-0, 7-6, and 7-3 decision, while freshman Mandy Jenkins was shut out at 6-0, 6-0. The Cerritos men received a strong single showing from freshman Chris Nye. He got one match point for the Falcons, winning 6-2 and 7-5. The Pirates pillaged the rest of the singles ladder. Even with sophomore Anthony Peterson's four wins, he sank in the end 6-0 and 6-4. Sophomore Kyle Porter managed a handful of victories on his way to a 6-2, 6-3 loss. Coach Kim explained that we had nervous play from several singles, practically no effectiveness at all. The coach did notice some highlights, including great play from sophomore Kyle Porter, which is much improved over last year. The Falcons women's double team of Audetat and Peterson saw their hopes of winning eventually scuttled in a 6-2, 6-4 decision. The women's team sophomore Dominique Luna and Kim Diaz, along with Jenkins and sophomore Hu Yong San, managed to take a few games, but each lost their match 6-3, 6-1. The men's freshman team of Brandon Chang and Porter took their match with an 8-4 victory, while the Falcons men's top double squad, Guy and Peterson, watched their hopes sink 8-3. Team member Mandy Jenkins believes that even a loss can be a win if you learn from it.
I think when people started talking to me about it, like, it never really, like, fazed me like that. Because all the time people were like, oh, you're like Venus and Serena. I'm just like, okay. I never really took it to the head and like, oh my gosh, I need to be just like this. It's something that I have to do as an expected player who has been playing forever. That, it just comes naturally to me. Like, it doesn't really bother me that sometimes in the games I might be the person that they depend on to, like, win the whole thing or lose. Because in high school, it came down to me and my partner, like, all the time. So, like, it's something that I'm used to. Learning is more important than winning, because when you lose, you know, you take home the things that you did wrong and you analyze them, and then you go back the next day and practice and work on them. It's not so much about, you know, we gotta crush them and, you know, all that other stuff. No, tennis is more about learning, having fun, and then at the end of the day, you know, you learn something to improve your game.
According to Kim, the teams will continue to focus on fundamentals. It's really a mastery of simple tactics. He believes that men and women both think it takes flash to beat the opponents, but believes that sound basics win the match. The Falcons put their 1-1 record on the line this week against another California Community College top teams, the San Jacinto College, at 2 p.m. on Thursday. Coach Kim gives his predictions for this season.
Our prediction is we'll be better.
All right.
Constantly fighting hard, constantly fighting to improve.
For Talon Marks Campus NewsHour, I am staff writer Michael Westerfield reporting.
This week's Talon Marks Campus NewsHour album review focuses on Beatles legend Sir Paul McCartney's latest release, Kisses on the Bottom. Arts editor Rosie Montes gives her very detailed review of this new release.
Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Rosado Montes for Talon Marks Campus NewsHour album review. This week, we're featuring Paul McCartney's recent release, Kisses on the Bottom. Sir Paul McCartney doesn't live up to his Beatles reputation on this latest release. The entire album is filled with intimate, charming, jazz-based music wrapped around together through guitar, bass, and piano. The only two original works that McCartney composed were the singles My Valentine and Only Our Hearts. Except the two original songs, McCartney performs compositions from the 1920s through 1930s that he grew up listening to. McCartney first heard a number of these songs performed by his father. Guitar god Eric Clapton and Stevie Wonder make a guest appearance on My Valentine, a song that promises a charming win to flatter anyone who wishes to impress another person. Clapton also appears on Get Yourself Another Fool. McCartney also collaborated with Diana Krall and her band for this album. There is a vibe throughout the album that envisions a romantic red wine drinking sense and has a picture written throughout the songs of a woman dressed in a red cocktail dress, having a dinner date with a man wearing a suit, slow dancing to the album. It is an understanding that this album calms a person down and isn't a drag to make time to listen to it. It is obvious that McCartney's age is not holding him back from singing and performing. No McCartney fan should be disappointed in saying that this dazzling album is a negative approach to him. Kisses on the Bottom just came out just in time for Valentine's Day for a person to buy to impress anyone. At the age of 69, this album came out at an appropriate time for McCartney to cover these American classics. The album title was inspired by Fats Walter, "I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter." This is the first album that McCartney released from his 2007's Memories Almost Full. For Campus NewsHour, I am arts editor Rosaura Monte, reporting.
Students needing and deserving financial aid through scholarship awards received valuable help and information on just how to seek, find, apply, and receive such monetary awards to help them in their scholastic careers. Staff writer Luis Guzman brings details for anyone interested in applying for funds to Campus NewsHour.
The scholarship workshop is for students who need help in the scholarship applying process. Several students attended the workshop that was held on February 2nd. The workshop answered questions that involved gaining a scholarship. The workshop touched on the subjects on personal statements, essays, and searching for scholarship resources. One of the goals of the workshop is to guide a student who is applying for a scholarship reach the deadline for submitting documents for scholarships. The workshop gives helpful tips on going through scholarship process. Financial aid technician Veronica Castro gave tips like reading applications carefully and making sure a student understands all the requirements that are asked for in a scholarship. Nursing major Lorena Moreno talked about the workshop.
It helped me a lot because I was very lost and now I have guidance.
Kai Deering, engineering major, tells Campus News Hour the importance of the workshops.
It was very informative. I don't know a lot about scholarships, so it's just kind of a good overview of the basics so I can start looking. Just that there's how many scholarships are out there, and there should be one for everyone, you know. There's so many criteria you can meet, so there should be something everyone can find if you look. As long as you keep looking, like they told us in there, as long as you're determined and you keep putting in applications, you should be able to find something.
Castro also offered help with spelling, grammar, and all the areas that are involved in the personal statement. The workshop also gives a student advice towards writing neatly on essays and personal statements. The workshop's purpose is to get students who need money for school to apply for scholarships. Castro said the next scholarship workshop will be held in March 20 in room BE3, starting at 5 p.m. and ending at 6 p.m. For Talon Marsh Campus News Hour, I'm staff writer Luis Guzman, reporting.
This week's Free Speech Zone on Campus News Hour asks the student body how safe they feel walking through the parking lot to their cars. Staff writer Alexandra Scoville and John Gonzalez take it to Falcon Square to get the student perspective.
Hello, I am Alexandra Scoville for this week's Campus News Hour. Here is this week's Free Speech Zone. The question we asked students was, what do you think of the security in the parking lots? Alfred Hernandez, computer engineering major.
I haven't seen any security around here. I've only seen the staff, the parking staff. I never had an issue where I can contact security. The security here, I don't know. I would say it's good because I haven't seen any issues around here. Yeah, sometimes I don't feel my car is safe there. Like if I were to leave it unlocked and if I were to happen to leave it open by an accident, I wouldn't feel safe.
Dina Lee, business administration major.
They're okay. I feel like sometimes they're not on point. Like, there's people that are parked here without the passes. And, you know, it's unfair to us that we have passes and people that don't have passes sometimes don't get the ticket. So, I mean, I don't have any trouble with them besides that.
Well, do you feel safe?
Do I feel safe?
Feel safe with, like, your car and, like,
sometimes things? And sometimes no, because I've been I went to school to be an esthetician, and I'm just furthering my education. And a girl got attacked when I was going about maybe like 2 years ago, and it was like he was like trying to rape her or something like that. It was like up a stairs, uh-huh. You know, at the health science building.
Okay.
So that was kind of scary, but I don't go to school at night, so.
Okay.
Then at night, maybe it might be a little bit more dangerous because, you know, the school's kind of big. And the buildings are really old.
Gio Herrera, undecided major.
It's good.
Yeah. Do you feel like your stuff is safe when you park here?
Eventually, I have to, right?
Okay. Do you feel like if
maybe it's like you were to leave your car unlocked or something like that, your stuff will be safe from maybe theft. Or like maybe if something does get stolen from your car, that maybe there's a good chance of them catching the person.
Well, if that was to happen, then maybe it's, that's why the security's job to, you know, eventually find the person or the people who end up doing it.
Tiffany Rivas, undecided major.
That's good, I guess.
Do you feel like your stuff is safe, or like that? Say, I don't know, maybe somebody tries to break in your car.
Yes, because I always see them out there.
You always see the security guards out there. So you think maybe like your stuff will never get jacked or anything like that?
No, it hasn't.
Okay. It's reasonable. Do you feel like maybe yourself is safe?
Yeah.
Christopher Biza, nursing major.
I mean, I don't really see them like patrolling the, you know, the parking lot much. I never really like paid attention, but I mean, at times I did, I just see them like cruising around, I guess, in the bike, or I never actually saw them monitoring like cars or anything like that. So, I mean, from a scale from 1 to 10, maybe like a 5.
Okay, so maybe you feel like your stuff isn't safe with these guys?
Yeah, definitely, man, yeah.
Okay.
Katina Jones, administrative justice major.
I never really noticed them.
So do you think your things are safe, like your possessions inside your car?
Yeah, I can say I trust them.
What about trusting them, like, with maybe your safety or maybe the safety of your friends? Or...
Well, I can say I do trust them, honestly.
Yeah?
Yeah, I leave my car there every day and nothing ever happened so far, and I've been here for 2 years now, so I can say everything's okay.
Manuel Machado, physical therapy major.
To be honest, it's like I have not seen a strong presence with them. I park every day in the parking lots, and usually I don't get to see them that often. So I don't know if they're not around or if they lack of, enough personnel.
Okay.
So I can't really give you a good opinion about.
All right. That's what this is about, kind of like the presence, and do you feel safe?
Oh, okay.
Do you feel like your stuff is safe, your stuff inside your car is safe?
It's just at its own risk, that's put it that way. Because then again, I told you, it's like I have night classes and I don't really see a presence of them and circling around the parking lots.
At night, do you feel like you're safe to walk in the parking lot in the dark?
Well, I do, but if I were like in the shoes of a woman, then that would be a different story. I would not feel, if I were a woman, I would not feel that safe.
Brandon Labitte, business major.
I obviously can do that. I've seen cars get keyed, completely keyed all around, so I don't know. I haven't had any personal problems, but I've seen, obviously, cars with damage. I've seen some people bump a car, and I don't think anyone saw it.
Do you feel like your personal stuff is safe inside your car?
Me, I feel fine. For myself, I guess, yeah.
Do you know any friends or anything that, anybody else that maybe, like, something has happened to their car, or something has been stolen or anything like that?
No one I know, no.
Monica Salas, geography major.
Well, about that one chick who got punched in the face, like, last semester, it doesn't feel safe at all.
You don't feel like security does their job, or...?
No.
What do you feel about, like, your personal belongings in your car?
I hide them.
You hide them?
Yeah.
Do you feel like security does enough their job enough to maybe protect your things or maybe protect you?
No, I don't think so. And I had a friend here who had her back seat to her Suburban seat stolen like twice from on campus.
Okay.
So I don't think they really protect our belongings.
For Talon Marks Campus News Hour, I'm staff writer Alexandra Scoville reporting.
You're listening to Talon Marks Campus News Hour on WPMD.org on the net. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Bellflower's Meals on Wheels is a nonprofit voluntary community service for those temporarily unable to prepare adequate meals for themselves. Meals on Wheels is dedicated to helping the disabled, aged, and chronically or temporarily ill. They supply them with nourishing food at a normal cost. Meals are prepared by Morrison's Healthcare Group in Downey. The Director of Nutrition plans the menus, and the meals are packaged by volunteers, county staff, and Human Services Association staff at Sims Park. Meals are packaged and delivered 5 days a week, Monday through Friday between 10:30 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. except holidays. Each customer is charged $2.85 per day regardless of income. If you need assistance, call Meals on Wheels between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. at 562-806-5400. This has been a public service message from WPMD Cerritos College Norwalk, where people make a difference.
If you have a tax problem that won't go away and you've made all the calls through the usual IRS customer service channels to no avail, you should know that the IRS offers individual, personalized help through the Taxpayer Advocate Service, an independent arm of the IRS. If you qualify, you'll be assigned a taxpayer advocate who can handle your case on an individual basis until it is resolved. Someone who can draw from many problem-solving resources to get to the bottom of your problem and, most important, get it resolved quickly and fairly. Do you qualify for your own personal taxpayer advocate? Find out by calling 1-877-777-4778. A public service message from WPMD and Telemark's Campus NewsHour.
Do you know what to do when an earthquake hits? It's not the shaking that hurts, it's the stuff that falls on your head. Collapsing walls, flying glass, and falling objects cause most earthquake-related injuries. If you're inside, stay there. Take cover under a strong piece of furniture and hold on. If you're outdoors, move into an open area away from buildings, streetlights, and utility wires. Once in the open, stay there until the shaking stops. And if you're in a moving vehicle, find a clear area and stop quickly and stay in the vehicle. Once the shaking has stopped, proceed with caution. Avoid bridges or ramps that might have been damaged by the quake. Most of all, be prepared. This has been a public service announcement for WPMD 956 Cerritos College, Norwalk.
In an effort by the state of California to verify student success in its community colleges, the Student Success Task Force has been formed to confront what is not working and what needs improving to further the accomplishment of student and faculty efforts. Editor-in-Chief Vic Diaz brings this issue to light.
Cerritos College is ahead of the curve in implementing upcoming statewide student success reforms, according to Dean of Academic Success and Institutional Effectiveness, Brian Reese. A reform package was adopted by the California Community Colleges Board of Governors on January 9th, which will implement changes to all community colleges in the state in regard to student success. Some of the plans that are to be put in place have already been implemented by Cerritos College, according to Reese.
I think some colleges are going to be in the spot where now they look at the plan and now they start thinking about how to implement it. We have mature activities and projects in development, if not completed already, or near completion, that meet many of the goals in that success plan.
Statistics released by the college on September 15th show that student success rates have risen over the course of 3 years, ranging from 2008 to 2011. Student success increased by 3.9%, starting at 66.48% in 2008 through 2009 to 70.4% in 2010 through 2011. Retention rates also increased during the same time span, beginning at 81.76% in 2008 through 2009 to 84.07% in 2010 through 2011, an improvement of 2.3%. The Counseling, Fine Arts, and Humanities and Social Sciences divisions were part in the increase in student success, increasing their success rates by 5.4%, 7.6%, and 6.6% respectively. One of the recommendations put in place by the task force is to increase college and career readiness within the K-12 educational system, with emphasis on helping high school juniors and seniors. According to Reese, Cerritos College is currently working with the ABC Unified School District in creating a system to prepare students for the college's assessment test.
We did a pilot last fall in the spring, and students who go through this course, they get higher scores on that assessment prep, on average about they jump an entire course. So normally when they would assess for, say maybe math 20, now they're assessing into math 40, for example.
Reese further elaborated.
Well, the main idea here, and we're going to have to confront this in the next year or two, is we got to get every student to make an ed plan. You know, what is your plan to get through here? With developing an ed plan, you usually declare a major, you know, even if it's a just liberal arts, you know, AA degree or something like that. So that's the idea. Instead of just having no idea what you want to do here, come here with some idea. Or very quickly after you get here, come with some idea. Do you want to pursue a career technical degree that leads straight to a job? Do you want to pursue a transfer degree that leads to the university? If so, what do those look like?
Other recommendations include incentivizing good student behaviors, which is currently taking place at Cerritos, by giving priority enrollment to students with higher grade point averages, and improving the education of basic skills, which was met by analyzing basic skills data in students, as well as creating a success center on campus. Chemistry major Jeremy Macias uses on-campus resources available to improve student success, such as the new math center located on the bottom floor of the library.
They have the actual professors teaching or tutoring at certain hours, and other times the students.
Undecided major Zachary Cota believes that a more traditional method of achieving student success is simply communicating with instructors and using them as additional resources.
Like, if I need help in like any classes, I could just go like to my teachers like during office hours. And in this case, I'm taking like a semi-independent math class where I can go and get help for my math work anytime I want.
The deadline for the Board of Governors to submit the plan to the state legislature for review is on March 1st. For Telemark's Campus News Hour, I'm Editor-in-Chief Vic Diaz reporting.
This has been the fourth installment of Telemark's Campus News Hour for the spring semester of 2012 here on WPMD.org on the net. We thank you for listening and would like to remind you to pick up the latest printed edition of Telemark's at newsracks located throughout the campus.
We would also like to invite you to log on to telemark.com for the latest in breaking news here at Cerritos College. On behalf of the Telemark news staff, I'm Campus News Hour Director Tito Benavidez.
And I'm Managing and Multimedia Editor Lucia Sarabia.
Have a great day, Falcons!